down here by the look of it for at least a couple of hours. strong westerlies. I think we might be needing to pay attention to that ourselves here. So here's the silly question of the day.
Okay. Yep, keep them coming too. They're fun. So I try to some things down. I'll start with the term disturbed westerlies, very commonly used around here. And they really have to be viewed on how you place the emphasis on this, which, you know, are the westerlies disturbed or there is a disturbance in the westerlies? That's sort of nitpicking, but it's important to think about it in that way. So I'm going to start this by looking at the prevailing winds. So here in the South Pacific, the prevailing winds are actually westerly winds, and they run roughly between 30 and 60 degrees south. So anyhow, the surface winds, and actually winds in the upper levels as well, are mostly westerlies down here. And they are sandwiched between the polar easterlies to the south, so all of the winds that are in Antarctica and northwards, they're going to be easterly winds, and the trade winds to the north, which are, of course, mostly east-southeast winds. So those westerlies are smack dab in the middle. So looking at the general circulation model of the Earth, we've got rising air in the equatorial region. You all know that, the ITCZ and all that. That, of course, doesn't keep rising. It turns polar. It turns to the south here. And some of this air descends at the poles, and that's what creates the very large anticyclones that are at the poles, or the south pole here. But much of the equatorial air actually descends around 45 south as an average. So somewhere between 30 and 60 degrees anyhow, so we'll call it 45 degrees. Now, due to the Earth's spin, a force is created, and we'll call that force the Coriolis force. And descending air turns to the left in the southern hemisphere. So if we were a molecule riding along on this equatorial wind going south, and we decide we're going to head for the deck, we're going to make a left turn. So we are thus creating a huge river of westerly winds that, well, the sailors for centuries have used this wind to sail east. Nothing disturbing about this that I could see, unless there happens to be a lack of westerlies, and then those old ships have failed to make any eastward progress at all, and they're not too happy. And now we'll take a look at the Sinatra charts. Now, we'll note that these westerly winds are often at the northern edge of deep southern ocean depressions. Now, the centers of these depressions could be 50 to 70 south. In fact, they are today when we look at our synoptic charts. I don't often give you that data because it really doesn't relate to the tropics or the subtropics. Per se, but they're there, and they're continuously going around the globe. So due to many reasons now, these depressions have a cold front that extends north. Now, these fronts can be mild, or they can be pretty nasty. And when they fall into the unpleasant category, where the winds are fresh to gale, and the clouds and precipitation is forecast, the Met Services like to use the term disturbed westerlies, and that's simply their part of their store of popular jargon that they use down here. Now, you see, if the westerlies were mild, and oftentimes they are, in fact, most of the times they are, and had no association with depressions or troughs, there wouldn't be any need to call them disturbed at all. Now, there's another question that relates to why do westerlies seem to be mostly disturbed, quote-unquote, while the weather in a high, where the trade winds reside, in other words, more easterly winds, they seem to be more pleasant. Well, I could ask, are the anticyclones really benign? So consider a strong anticyclone, a strong high. Winds on the equatorward side can almost certainly be gale force. Whenever you have winds, central pressure, central pressures of 1030 and higher, then the perimeter of these highs very often are gale force winds. In fact, the rule of thumb is to look at the last two numbers of these strong highs and use those as your wind gusts. So in other words, a 1035 high, well, you might have 35 knots on the perimeter. So, well, that's disturbing, if you ask me. Then you've got a nice broad high that almost always has a cap or an inversion layer. So rising air, and the air is always rising when you've got that kind of a situation. Well, it stopped from rising, and cloud is going to form at that point, particularly when you reach the dew point, and you often do. So it spreads out, and it blots out the sun. Now, this is called anticyclonic bloom. Well, that's disturbing, isn't it? Now, it was mentioned earlier that wind from a high is more constant. That was part of the question. Well, are they really more constant? Remember, the inversion layer that we talked about. Now, rising air hits this layer, and it rebounds back to the earth. And it's taking with it winds that are at higher altitude. And those winds are always much stronger than surface air winds. So the gusts then are commonplace, and they could be gale force or higher. So that's not very good. Now consider highs, the highs that are in the polar latitudes. Now, the north side easterlies are going to crash and clash with the prevailing westerlies. And when that happens, the air streams are going to twist. And that is how depressions are formed, part of how they're formed. A lot more to it, but you get the idea. You've got one flow of wind one way and another way. Different densities, they are not going to mix. They're going to clash. And they twist, and they make depressions. So, well, I say they're accessories to disturbances of the peace. I don't think I got any laughs out of that one. Anyway, so that sums it up. Disturbed westerlies, they're not, the westerlies are not necessarily disturbed, but it's a jargon term, and it's used usually when they're associated with bad weather that's coming, and that bad weather is coming because of a trough or a depression that's on its way. So hopefully that answers it. Any questions or comments regarding this, have at it. And any other of these silly questions, which are not silly, but we like them, keep them coming, and we'll enjoy doing our best to answer them. So here's Trish.
Yes, and one thing I did forget to